I invite you to get your Bibles again and turn them to Philippians chapter 2, and we will read verses 12 and 13. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my dear friends, or therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation, or work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act, or to work according to His good purpose, or according to His good pleasure. Thus far the reading of God's Word, and may He add His divine blessings to it. In this message, we're going to explore the imperative found in verse 12, and that is, work out your own salvation. And as we examine that command, there are three questions that we're going to answer. And here's the first one. What does it mean to work out our own salvation? Second, how must we work out our own salvation? And finally, why must we work out our own salvation? So let's consider our first point. What does it mean to work out our own salvation? Sadly, some people think that this command implies that salvation can be achieved by our own good works. But of course, this interpretation is wrong for three basic reasons. First of all, Paul himself makes it clear that salvation is apart from our works. And so we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, and listen carefully, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Second reason why that interpretation is wrong. In our text, Paul is addressing those who already claim to be saved. That's why he calls them my beloved, or my fellow believers in Christ. And then finally, that interpretation is wrong because Paul does not say, work for your own salvation. Rather, he says, work out your own salvation. And there is a huge difference between that those two prepositions. Work for your salvation and work out your salvation. When you say work for your salvation, it implies that if you want to be saved, then you have to work for your salvation. But the Bible does not teach us. We don't gain salvation in return for our service. Salvation is a free gift. After all, there's no need for us to work for our salvation because Jesus has already done the work. And so he cries out saying, "It is finished. It is done." And so what we do as believers in Christ, we work out our own salvation. That is to say, we exercise our own salvation. You see, when I go to the gym, I don't work for my muscle. I work out my muscle. I exercise my muscle. And it is in that sense that Paul is using that term, work out, in our texts. In fact, in the original, the word work out literally means to work to the uttermost. And here's the idea. What Paul is saying here is this. Carry your salvation to its final goal. And what is the goal of salvation? In other words, why did God save you and me? Well, the answer is to conform us to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. In short, the goal of salvation is Christ's likeness. God saved me in 1996. In fact, one of the very first hymns that I heard was that hymn, "And Can It Be?" by Charles Wesley. God so freely and graciously saved me in 1996. And God is commanding me, "Brian, carry that salvation that I have given to you." That's why Paul says your own salvation. That salvation becomes ours because it has been given to us. And we have this duty to carry that salvation to its final goal, which is Christ-likeness. And so we can put it this way. We need to strengthen our faith in Jesus Christ. We must put our salvation into action or practice. We must improve our relationship with God. We must grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that's the point of the Apostle Paul here. And take note, that verb is in present tense, stressing the continuous action of that verb. You see, when you go to the gym, and let's say so you exercise, you don't say, "Okay, I'm done for the rest of my life. I'm not going to work out anymore." No, you do it continuously. You do it regularly. And the same is true. This is our daily duty. We must be striving for holiness every day. Yes, we stumble. Yes, we sin. Nevertheless, God is calling us to keep pursuing holiness. The problem is that we are not consistent in our Christian life, like in our physical life. There are times that we don't feel like going to the gym. We don't feel like exercising. We are lazy. There are times in our Christian life that we don't want to go to church and worship the Lord. We don't want to even read His Word. We are even too lazy to pray to Him and to fellowship with other believers. My friend, don't expect to grow if you don't work out your own salvation. You see, children, you know this song very well. Read your Bible, pray every day, and what happens? And you grow, grow, grow. I think one of the problems that we see in many churches today is this. They try to follow this commandment to work out their own salvation when in fact they are not saved. When in fact they don't have salvation. And that's why there's no sanctification. You see, if there's no salvation in your life, don't expect to see sanctification. And so I urge you, I don't know you, but I don't want to simply assume that everyone here is saved. If you are not a believer, you must first believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because unless you are saved, you will have nothing to work out. And so I give this verse to you, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Commenting on that word, whosoever, the Puritan pastor Richard Baxter stated, I thank God for that word, whosoever. If God had said there was mercy for Richard Baxter, I am so vile a sinner that I would have thought He meant some other Richard Baxter. But when He says, whosoever, I know that includes me, the worst of all Richard Baxters. Perhaps you think that you are the worst of all sinners. So be it. But think of that word, whosoever. That includes you. And if you believe in Jesus, you will be saved. Then you can apply this commandment. Because this commandment is given for those who have Jesus Christ. And so as believers, how must we work out our own salvation? And that will lead us to our second point. Well, let's read our text. Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So first of all, do it with fear. And by the way, the Greek word for the word fear here in our text is phobou or phobos, from which we get the English term phobia. And according to one dictionary, phobia is an extremely strong dislike or fear of someone or something. Boys and girls, there are many kinds of phobia. You have what we call hydrophobia. People who have that kind of phobia are afraid, extremely afraid of water. You cannot make them swim. They will be upset with you if you ask them to jump into the water. Now, Paul says, as you work out your own salvation, do it with phobia, with fear. With fear that if you don't do it, you will get weak. And Satan will take advantage of your weakness. You will be very prone to sin, to temptation. And isn't it true that when we are weak physically, we are prone to sickness? And so Paul says, do it so that you will get strong and be able to fight against the devil with God's help. Do it with fear that if you don't do it, your Christian life will become a burden for you. Like a runner who is no longer fit to run because he has gained unnecessary weight in his body. And so for this runner, running is no longer delightful but burdensome. And I'm afraid that there are many Christians today who no longer enjoy their Christian life, who no longer enjoy running the race because of unnecessary weight in their Christian life. Oh yes, we complain. We say, well, the worship service in this church is not entertaining. It's not exciting. Oh, the preacher is boring. His sermon is boring. The singing is not good. Well, I want you to pause for a moment because maybe the problem is not this church. Maybe the problem is not the singing. Maybe the problem is not your pastor or the sermon that you hear Sunday after Sunday. Maybe the problem is you. The problem is your sin, that unnecessary weight that drags you down, that causes heaviness in your soul. And so when you come to church, you no longer enjoy the preaching of God's word. And unless you get rid of that sin in your life, you will not see the beauty and glory of Jesus Christ. And so the author of Hebrews says, lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Lay aside that sin that robs you of that joy that comes from the Lord. My friend, with love, I would like to ask you, I don't know you. God knows you. Are you still enjoying your Christian life? Do you still have that first love for God? That joy that you had when you first became a believer in Christ? Are you still enjoying listening to the preaching of God's Word? Are you still enjoying communing with God? And so Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear that if you don't do this, your Christian life will become a burden for you. And do it with fear that if you don't keep this command here to work out your own salvation, then you will forfeit some blessings or certain privileges, like an athlete who has been disqualified to join a competition or to run because of sin. You see, that sin of yours can disqualify you from many opportunities and privileges in this church. That sin of yours will take that joy from you. Do you remember David? He committed adultery. He committed murder. Or you can even say that he transgressed all the Ten Commandments. And in Psalm 51, he begs the Lord. He says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Now notice, he did not lose his salvation. What he lost was the joy of his salvation. And so Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear. And secondly, with trembling. Now, the Greek word for the word trembling in verse 12 is tromou or tromos, from which we have the word trauma. One dictionary defines trauma this way: a very difficult or unpleasant experience that causes someone to have mental or emotional problems, usually for a long time. Work out your own salvation with trauma of sin. You see, when you have a trauma, you don't want to remember that which can trigger the trauma. You hate that thought that can bring back memories. Now, Paul says, as you do this, have trauma of sin. Remember what sin did to our first parents. It killed them. Jesus had to be born into this sin-stricken world because of your sin. He had to be crucified on a cross because of your sin, because of my sin. And it's because of sin that many relationships are broken or are breaking. Don't we want to hate that sin? Don't we want to have a trauma, a holy trauma of sin? Sin destroyed many marriages. Sin separated us from God. Sin will only kill us. We need to mortify it and run away from it and run toward God. Boys and girls, I was reading this story about a young girl who wanted to become a member of a certain local church. And so she was examined for membership in that church. She was asked by a deacon, "Has Christ made a difference in your life?" She replied, "Yes, Christ certainly had." Trying to draw her out more, the deacon asked, "Well, then, do you sin anymore?" The girl admitted that she did. "Well, if you sinned before you were a Christian and you sinned since you became a Christian, how has Christ made a difference in your life?" The girl thought a moment. "Sir, I think it is this. Before I was a Christian, I ran after sin. Now I run from it, though sometimes I'm still overtaken." You see, one of the characteristics of a true Christian is that he or she runs away from sin, not towards sin. Now, as you are listening to this message, you're probably asking silently, why? Why must we work out our own salvation? What's a big deal about this? Why? Let me give you 5 quick reasons. And this will lead us to our last point. Why must we work out our own salvation? Here's the first one. Because it is a command. It is a command. Therefore, if we do not work out our own salvation, we disobey God. And disobedience is a form of sin. And if you keep disobeying God, don't expect God to bless you. But having said that, we don't want to merely obey this command or to do this duty out of command, because Paul wants each of us, each of those who claim to be saved, to work out their own salvation in light of what Jesus has done for us. That's why he begins by saying, "Therefore." And that word, "therefore," connects our text to the previous verses. And we've read earlier verses 1 through 11. And if you paid attention to the reading of that portion of God's word, you will see that there, Paul is showing what Jesus has done for us. For example, in verse 8, we read, "And being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." And so, Paul wants us to exercise our salvation in light of what Jesus has done for us. He died for us. Think about that. And so live a godly life in response to what he has accomplished in our behalf. You know, our Heidelberg Catechism is divided into 3 main sections: sin, salvation, and then service. You serve God in response to what he has done for you, because now you are saved from sin or guilt, grace, and gratitude. You thank the Lord because you've been pardoned. Second, so why work out our own salvation? Well, do it for your own sake. For my own sake. If we neglect this duty, we will get sick spiritually. We will not be strong in our faith. You see, many Christians are spiritually weak because of lack of spiritual exercise. And let's admit this. This is not easy, to exercise our faith in Jesus. It's a hard work. In fact, the word work in the original, we have the word energy from that word work. Energize. We need to exert energy. We need to really work hard. My friend, there is no shortcut in this Christian life. If you want to grow, if you want to grow in your love for Jesus, there is no shortcut. You must read His Word. You must pray to Him. You must spend time with Him. I think we've been affected by the so-called, you know, instant, like instant noodle. You know, you have this microwave. And so in this church, we want everything to be instant. Instant message, boom. Short message, everything is short. And then we expect to grow. What do you expect if you don't really spend time with the Lord? You will not grow. So do it for your own sake. Third, do it because no one will do it for you. That's why Paul says, work out your own salvation. You don't work out her salvation. You work out your own salvation. You see, I would be ridiculous to suggest, for example, if I say to your pastor, Pastor Kuken, would you please go to the gym for me and run for 3 miles on my behalf? Well, he could do that, but that will not benefit me. He will benefit. So I myself must exercise. The context of this passage, Paul was once with them, with the Philippian believers. He was their missionary. He was their pastor at one point. Paul left. And so Paul says, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, because Paul is no longer with them. You know, you could imagine that when Paul was with them, Paul was assisting them, was helping them, because they were baby Christians. But now that they are probably 10 years old in their faith, Paul says, it's time for you to do it. Do it. Do it yourself. It's like my daughter. I have a daughter. She will be turning 2 in a few days, actually. From time to time, I still feed her with a spoon. I help her. I assist her. But it is her responsibility to open her mouth and chew the food and digest it. I cannot do it for her. Well, maybe I could, but it would not be good. But you know, you get my point. Now, listen now, please. As a minister of God's Word, I preach the Word of God to you. Don't expect me to open your mouth. It is your responsibility to open your mouth and ask the Lord, Lord, please feed me. It is your responsibility to meditate on God's Word, to chew it, to digest it, to really get the nutrients coming out of this message. I cannot do that for you. I will go back to Michigan tomorrow. And so if after this service you go home and you complain that you have not been fed by the preaching of God's Word, maybe it's your fault. Maybe you came here not to be fed. Maybe you came here to look for mistakes, to criticize. And you expect to grow in your Christian life. So Paul says, work out your own salvation. And it's sad too that in many churches today, sometimes we are more concerned with others. Look, do you see him? He's not listening. She's not listening. He's sleeping. She's sleeping. That's not your responsibility. Well, you can pray for that person silently, maybe talk to that person afterwards, but you must work out your own salvation. And yes, there are times that you will not like what you hear from your pastor. It's like my daughter. You see, I don't give everything my daughter wants. I give what she needs. And sometimes what she needs is not likable, it's not delightful, but she must take it for her own sake, for her good. And that's what the Lord is doing to us. Although it's sad to say, in many churches today, they make a demand. Oh, you preacher, if you don't tickle our ears, if you keep preaching about sin and challenging us, we will kick you out. What an attitude. When I go to the gym, I try to first stretch my body before I exercise. I made the mistake before. You know, sometimes you think that stretching is not really important, so you just want to start exercising right away. But oftentimes I would get injuries. So my instructor said, I want you to spend 10 minutes or 15 minutes, just stretch. You need to condition your body, your bones. And I think my trainer was right. Let's translate that to our Christian life. You came here. My question is, did you stretch your soul, so to speak, spiritually? Did you prepare for the preaching of God's word? Did you pray to the Lord, Lord, I'll go to church, and Lord, you know my sin, you know my struggle, Lord, but please help me to be able to focus on you. Help me, Lord, to really benefit from the preaching of your word, to benefit from the songs that we read. Yes, Lord, even if I don't really like some of the songs that we sing, but Lord, help me to focus on Jesus Christ, to be fed on Him, rather than to, you know, count all the mistakes that happened during the worship service. And I tell you, if we do that, we will go home blessed. I think sometimes the problem is really our attitude. It's like my daughter. If my daughter complains to me and she says, Daddy, I'm hungry. Well, I love you so much. I tried to feed you, but you're not opening your mouth. You're refusing to be fed. So do it because no one will do it for you. Fourthly and quickly, do it because we should not expect God to work in us if we don't cooperate with Him. As one writer says, sanctification is the process of becoming progressively more like Christ, and listen up please, by cooperating with God to become holy. You see, in salvation, we don't cooperate with God. Salvation is 100% the work of God. However, in sanctification, God wants us to cooperate with Him. We need to allow God to work in us. Although later on, we will see that even sanctification is the work of God. But we have this responsibility, that balance of God's sovereignty and human responsibility. It is our responsibility to work out our own salvation. That's not God's responsibility. Paul is not commanding God to do this. It is a command directed to us. And then finally, work out your own salvation for the sake of others. Remember the context of this verse. In the previous verses, Paul is dealing with the problem of disunity. Your pastor might have touched on that. Problem of disunity. Now, Paul wants them to work together for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here's the picture. Like, I love playing basketball. Imagine this. So in basketball, you play as a team. You have five players, full court. Let's say our coach says to me, okay, Brian, tomorrow we need to practice because we're going to play against this team and they're really good. And then imagine if I say to that coach, you know what? I'll just stay home. I don't need to practice or exercise. Let my other teammates do that. Now, if I don't exercise, the team will be affected because we are one. We play as a team. Now, why work out your own salvation? not only for your sake, but for the sake of others. This is one body, one congregation, although you have two, in a sense, you're like divided here, but you belong to the same body, under the same head. We need to help each other. Now, for the sake of time, let me conclude this message with verse 13. I wish I had more time to expound verse 13. Maybe when I return again, Pastor Kyuken will invite me again. And I want to comfort us now here. Let's read verse 13. So work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good pleasure. Praise the Lord for this. Because left to ourselves, in our natural condition, we don't have a desire to serve the Lord. We don't have a desire to love Him. We don't have a desire to read His Word, to pray to Him. And so isn't it wonderful that God Himself will work in us? That means God Himself will give you that determination, that desire, so that you will be able to persevere until the end. He will make you willing. And He will also give you energy and ability to do this. And this should also humble us because, listen now please, if by God's grace you can say that you are a mature Christian, you realize that you are what you are by the grace of God. It is the Lord who has worked in you, who has given you that desire. Even the fact that you are here this evening, that desire came from God. And thank Him for that. You know, we leave this place and you meet the people around us, the unbelievers, and you scratch your head. They don't care about God. Well, they don't have that desire. And we should not boast about that. We should be humbled before God and say, Lord, thank you so much for what you have done for me. And God also has promised in the same book, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Philippians 1:6. Paul says, and I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. God will not leave us the way we are. God is not yet done in your life. He will finish His work. He will bring that salvation to its final goal, which is Christ-likeness. When Jesus comes again for the second time, and when we see Him face to face, John the Beloved says, we shall be like Him. Hallelujah for that. And why is God doing this? You know why? He's doing this for His own good pleasure. He's doing this for His own glory. That's why we read at the end of verse 13, according to His good purpose, or according to His good pleasure. The goal of sanctification is God's glorification. Do you want to glorify God? Then work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Let us pray. Lord, we are humbled by what You have done for us. First of all, You have saved us. And You have been sanctifying us, conforming us to the image of Your Son. Oh Lord, we thank You for Your patience with us. Lord, there are times we confess that we did not allow you to work in us. We tried to refuse you from changing us. But Lord, we thank you that you are so powerful that even in our stubbornness, you continue to change us from glory to glory. And Lord, how we look forward to that day when we will be like Jesus Christ. Lord, forgive us for all our sins. And I pray, Lord, that this message has brought glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.